Bill, how long can I preach? He says, oh, you can preach as long as you want. They leave at noon. So, you know, no, he didn't say that. You know, once again, I got to tell you, it's a real privilege to be here. Pam and I, we love being here. And Marge gave me a question last night that I had to think about. She says, why did you leave? And I was like, I got a job, and we moved back to Atlanta. We had our third child, and you know, my wife had lost her dad about 2 years before, and so one of the things we thought about was our grandkids growing up at the same assembly together with their grandparents, and so that was part of it. That was part of it, but we missed Charlotte. We missed being here, and I need to clarify something from earlier. So this is good, where you can speak early, and then when you get to speak again, you can clean up something. So I was sharing my little acrostic I use with looking at Jesus in the Gospels. And our sister, Christmas Carol Funk, she mentioned to me, she said, you know, me and Marge were talking, you got to fix this. So KSMG, King, Servant, Man, God. So I got real academic when I said man, his humanity, God, his deity. So that's why I use those. So when you think of the Gospels, Matthew is looking at him as king, Mark as servant, Luke as man, and John as God. And so the Gospels play quite a part in letting us know about who Jesus is. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Brother Mumford, let me tell you, you bless my heart. And I'll tell you, Pam and I have a memory of Fairbluff years ago that we recognized in this sister. We said, we are never going to complain about doing something in church. You all remember Sister Hardy, right? Who remembers Sister Hardy? And Sister Hardy was in her 90s. She was hunched over, and she had every reason to not do something. And one night, it was a Wednesday night service, and they asked her to play the piano, and she got up and ran to the piano in her 90s. And she played that piano like it upset her, because she was pounding those keys. And I said to myself, I will never... After seeing her do that, I will never complain and let age be a barrier. Brother, thank you for singing. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. So, we're in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to go, I have a New American Standard Bible with me, but I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And I'm reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Mindful of the things of God, or mindful of the things of men. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is complete. Nothing can be added to it. And Lord, we just pray now that as we open it up and we hear what you have to say to us, Father, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase, and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Father, help that we would look into the word today and that we would, Lord, be changed for coming here this morning. We thank you so much and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, questions get conversations going, don't they? You know, we need to be, as it said in James 1:19, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And sometimes when we don't know what to say to a person, asking them a question really, really helps the conversation to go. I'm going to ask you three questions today that I want you to consider in your own life. What are you talking about? What are you convinced about? And what are you thinking about? What's on your mind? For each of us, it's a different thing. You know, I was going to start my message and say, anybody who's here who you don't want to be here today. See? You're wrestling with it, right? Somebody's like, I've never heard this guy before. I really want to go home. But that's one of those questions you won't answer, but you'll wrestle with. And I was going to give you the opportunity to leave, but no, don't do that. Don't do that. But there are questions that we ask that make us look at the need in the question, as I mentioned earlier. And so Jesus asked his disciples a question. Now, let me take the time to say he's at Caesarea Philippi. And in this particular region, there's a lot of idolatry. There are things going on where, you know, Jesus comes to this area and he asks his disciples, he said, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? So the assumption is made that the disciples are interacting with people and listening to people and listening to conversations. You know, it's interesting in a world where it doesn't have Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and instant communication that you see in Scripture that the word got out, right? The word got out that people found out who Jesus was. People were communicating in a different way. And so people were talking about Jesus. I want to suggest to you that Jesus had a really great resume up to this point of the past few weeks or days or whatever. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of the 5,000, which really might have been 10 or 12,000, because it talks about 5,000 men, and there's women and children and everybody else. It's a huge miracle. How does a miracle like that happen without people talking about it? 5 loaves and 2 fish. I still wonder what he did. Did he make fritters? Did he make some sort of bread? That, you know, what did he do? Or did fish just start popping up? You know, I don't know. But I know that people were fed and that they took 12 baskets of stuff that was left. That's quite a miracle. In Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33, you see that Jesus walks on water. Not only does Jesus walk on water, but Peter walks on water. And that's the bigger miracle, right? That Peter walks on water. He doesn't end it really well. You ever wonder how far out he got from the boat? You know, I don't think he was like close to it. I think he probably was a ways from the boat. The boat's there. I'm on the water. Jesus is there. Oh no, what did I just do? Peter walks on water, and that's a miracle. Do you think people heard about it? The reason I think people heard about it is because Jesus tells them something in this passage later on. He says, don't tell anybody that I'm the Messiah. Can you imagine that? I know I'm jumping ahead. But Jesus tells himself, and he says, don't tell anybody. What? And Jesus often did that. He often did that. And so we see the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus walks on water. If you look at Matthew 14, 34 to 36, you see that they say people are touching his garments and they get healed. So Jesus' ministry is taking hold in a culture that this hasn't happened before. And at this point now, Jesus asks the question, you know, who do they say that I am? And so their response is, you know, they say, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. There's a conversation about who Jesus is. What are people saying about Jesus today? Are we talking about Jesus today? That's the bigger question. Are we in conversations where we say, what do you think about Jesus? Who is Jesus? Or is somebody asking you who Jesus is? Is he more than just a curse word? That's the question. Are people talking about this man named Jesus? We need to involve him in our conversations. Amen? We need to, where somebody is hurting, offer them Jesus. Where someone is telling you of a crisis, talk about Jesus. Give them the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Who do men say that I am? Is the message getting across? So Jesus changed gears, and he says, well, who do you say that I am? I suggested earlier, and I respectfully say, I don't want it to come across as though I'm adding to Scripture, but as I study it, I believe that in a conversation, there are two responses, right? In a conversation with someone else, they say something, you say something. And I think there's part of Jesus' question is, who are you saying that I am? I think that's part of it. But here he asks them directly, who do you say that I am? Now at this point, I need to talk a little bit about Peter, don't I? You know, he's one of my favorites in Scripture. I think Peter is a lot like you and me. He's high energy. You know, he's ready to jump in the conversation. One of the coolest things, though, is in John chapter 1, it's his brother Andrew who introduces him to Jesus, right? Here's a side note. When Paul begins his ministry, everybody's afraid of Paul. And who makes it where Paul can really function? Barnabas. Barnabas comes and stands beside him and says, he's cool. He's not as crazy as he used to be. He loves Jesus now. And so in Peter's life, Andrew comes and says, I found the Messiah. Come with me. And so from that point, we see Peter's life. We see Peter doing some great things. We see Peter doing some reactive things. You know, I was as I was studying, I said, you know, Peter, the scriptures were written probably at a time where maybe Peter could have gone, don't put that in there. You know, Peter denies Jesus. Peter cuts off Malchus's ear. He has some bad moments, doesn't he? You know, for us, if we're writing, are you going to write about the bad stuff? You know, and yet it's in Scripture. And in Peter's life, we see him at the beginning, when the church has started in Acts. And Peter now, you know, he's had his moment with Jesus on the beach. You know, where Jesus says, you love me, Peter? He says, yeah, I love you, Lord. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Lord, you know I love you. You know? I like to put some emotion to the guy, Scripture. And then Peter's like, you know, Peter has a moment like us. He said, well, what about John? He says, that's none of your concern. You know? This is the same Peter that Jesus is dealing with. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, Peter is empowered, and his first message as a fisherman preaching the word of God, 3,000 people get saved. You know, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus. And so Peter is in a spot here. And so when we look at his life, and then he writes the great letters to us in 1st and 2nd Peter. Our focus at Decatur Bible Chapel right now is living in the light of eternity. That's our theme for this year. And so Peter presents in 2 Peter chapter 3, he talks about the world that we're going to be living in, where people say, I thought you said Jesus was coming. He's not coming, you know. And Peter makes it very clear of what's going to happen in this world. And he gets to a point and he says, how then ought we to live knowing that all of these things are going to come to pass? You see the maturity in this, Peter? All the way to this point. And so now, here he is, where Jesus is asking the disciples, and Peter says, ooh, I have the answer. Pick me. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus was like, yes. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That is powerful, what Jesus says to him. He says, you didn't do this with your intellect. He says, God has revealed this to you. And he says, that's the right answer. So I asked you the other question this morning. What are you convinced about as it relates to Scripture? One of the most crippling things that we can have in our life is doubt. Doubt can cripple us from making decisions, from moving ahead. Doubt is a horrible thing. So as it relates to our faith, we must be convinced about who Jesus is. Matthew 16, verse 6, after Peter answers him, you know, we see he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, it's I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, we will be saved. So it's not about whether you're saved or not. It's being convinced about who Jesus is that now you can live and communicate and exist in this world. Each of us must determine daily what it means to have accepted Jesus as Savior. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 reads this way. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. 2 Peter 1, 10 to 11 reads this way. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter is convinced about who Jesus is. And that's my prayer, that you are convinced about who Jesus is. That the doubts have moved away. And each and every day as you read the scriptures, as you fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit, you get to the point where you're convinced that this works. You know, I work in the construction industry, and I've been in houses before that are at the stage of framing, right? And some of these builders, they're a little more convinced about the structural integrity of parts of the house, right? So when they say, don't walk over there, don't go over there. But there are times where I don't want to walk over to a particular area, and they're like, Mike, it's fine, see? And the whole house will rock. And I'm like, let's talk downstairs. You know, so I'm not convinced that it's there, but I want you to be convinced that Jesus is who he is. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Speaking of rock, you remember in John 1, when Andrew brings Peter to Jesus? And Jesus says, from now on, Simon, I'm going to call you Peter. What does Peter mean? Rock. I thought maybe Jesus would call him Rocky, but, you know. And here we see where Peter is interacting with Jesus. And he says, my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. So he's convinced. I want you to be convinced today. He says here, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So just so you know, it's Peter's statement that is the rock, not Peter. There have been some real misinterpretations of this scripture through the years as to who Peter was, because there's no way that the church could be built on a guy who a few verses later, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. And so we're going to see that there as it relates to what he's thinking about. You know, Paul encourages Timothy in his second letter. In 2 Timothy 1 to 12, we read this. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. He is convinced. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. These are the words in the NIV. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What are you convinced about today? God the Father wants to be convinced today about who Jesus is like he did for Peter. Let me reword that. God the Father wants you to be convinced today as to who Jesus is, like he did for Peter. And so, you know, the next few verses are a whole other message in itself, and I'm not going to tackle those today. But I want to jump ahead here that Peter, having a star student moment, I have the answer, I'm right. Jesus says, you're right. He says, this is wonderful. He now goes from star student to the corner of the room. Go stand in the corner. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Mindful of the things of God, not the things of men. We are at a place in our world today where we really are more mindful of the things of men. That's what we're doing. Bill mentioned earlier that I serve as a city councilman in Lilburn. And part of my role is to be mindful of the things of the residents of Lilburn, right? All the people live in Lilburn. They want to see different things happen. You know, as a city councilman, you're responsible for things like public safety. We have a police force. Roads, you know, we have to take care of the roads. Parks and rec, zoning, things like that. And so you keep that in mind. And one of the things that blew me away years ago when I served on the Planning Commission is that people would show up for meetings and they would care. They would say, don't widen our roads because of this. Don't build that here because of this. And people cared. And in your role, as in the municipal role, you have to think about the needs of the people. You have to be mindful of the people that are there. And that's your role. But as it relates to eternal things, we must be mindful of the things of God. We must be mindful of the things of God. And Peter missed it here. Why did Peter miss it? Because oftentimes we think with this thing, our heart. You see, our heart has a way of getting us to believing and doing things that are other than what God wants us to do. Our heart goes out to people who are making decisions that are alternate to what God would want. Our heart can fool us. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 to 3 reads this way, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Nehemiah 9 to 17, they refused to obey and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundance in kindness, and did not forsake them. They were not mindful of your wonders. Isaiah 17:10, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. We need to be mindful of the things of God. Peter's response was because of what he heard Jesus was going to go through. He loved Jesus and he's like, I don't want you to go through that. And Jesus says, unless I go through that, you will have nothing. And so he wasn't mindful of the plan of God. You know, when we're mindful of the plan of God, it will give us peace in a broken world. It will. Because the ultimate for the believer is heaven. The ultimate for the believer is heaven. And God loves people far more than we could ever love them. You know, it's hard to believe because of the things we see happening. I like to encourage parents who have young people. You know, all of our children are in their, I was going to say in their 20s, but April just turned 30. And April's 30, Abby will be 21 this year. And so they've had a lot of friends grow up with them through the years. And for some of them, they're not walking with the Lord right now. And my encouragement to the parents is, God loves them way more than you do. And I know you love them a lot. So I said, keep bringing them before God. Keep praying to the Lord and bringing them to him and watch God work. The other thing I encourage families to do too is that pray that God brings other people into their lives to remind them of what was poured into them so that their eyes will be open to what God has done. He can do it. He can do it. As we read earlier, what is impossible for men is possible for God. And so he can do it. And so at times, our minds get distracted. We're not mindful of the things of God. We're not mindful of the things that we read in Scripture where we see that this had to happen. Jesus had to suffer. And this is what he says. He says, all these people are going to treat me bad. I'm going to die and raise on the third day. I always, often wonder when I read that passage, where, you know, it looks at, where is it here, where Jesus is challenging him, is that, does Peter miss the part of raised up on the third day? You know, he's caught up in all the suffering and the pain and, you know, the raised up in the third day. That's a big deal right there. And so we see that. And so we have to be mindful of the things of God. Our salvation could not be accomplished without the cross, folks. It could not be accomplished without the cross. We see that where in Luke 24, 25 to 27, Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with two people. And he's talking to them. And you remember how Jesus says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan? It's kind of harsh, right? But Jesus loves Peter. Jesus is walking on the road right after he's risen from the dead with two people on the road to Emmaus, and he says to them this. Then he said to them, O foolish ones. Hey, easy. But he says that to them just to let them know, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We read scripture and we see some of the things that are going to happen in our lifetime. And they're scary. And they're things that we probably don't want to go through. But ultimately, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if we are the ones who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, thou art the promised Messiah, there is hope for us. There is hope for us. I'll keep my word. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Are you committed to involving the person of Jesus in your conversation? What are you convinced about? Study God's word. Study God's word and get to a place in your life where there's certain things you don't have to work on anymore. Be convinced. This is a church that teaches the word of God. This is a church where you can see the proven word of God in the life of people who have been consistent. What are you convinced about? And last but not least, what are you thinking about? Are you mindful of the things of God or the things of men? Be blessed today. Know that God loves you. Know that he cares about you and that he has great things waiting for the believer. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for bringing us here today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Peter, Lord, who was faithful to you. And Lord, we thank you that so many lives have been transformed as your Holy Spirit worked through him. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work through us, that we will fall in love with the scriptures and that we will love on people and we will talk to them and listen to them. And Lord, that lives will be changed because we are convinced that you are who you are. Set our mind, Lord, on godly things and help us to love you in every situation. I just pray that you will continue to bless Fairbrook Bible Chapel. Be with each family represented here. Lord, for those with health challenges, comfort them even today and help them to know that you're in control. And Lord, in everything, we just commit this day and this time and this church to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.